The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning, this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is the Thursday, the 30th of October, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I feel like myself today, but tomorrow, I may feel like somebody different. We'll see. Tomorrow is Halloween, of course. We expect lots of trick-or-treating if the weather holds. Kids and parents are looking forward to tomorrow. It's always a good day in New Providence. Lots of family activities. I look forward to it. I don't have any children, but I can find some children to help me trick-or-treat this year. Looking forward to it. We have joining us in studio today Dr. Ancelino Davis, local environmentalist, founder of BEINGS, that's Bahamians Educated in Natural and Geospatial Sciences, and founder of Science and Perspective. He's going to join us this morning. We had a topic set up, you know, but I'm going to take advantage of this moment to talk to Dr. Davis about the impact of Melissa on the environment, and we should be doing what we should be preparing to do, what we should be assessing and looking for as we begin our recovery from Hurricane Jamaica. And we may touch on some other topics as well as we get the show started. It was in Will competition, open to junior and senior high school students across the archipelago, four districts, New Providence, Grand Bahama, San Salvador, and the rest of the family of islands, one winner from each district. And to win a prize, two pieces of information, the government recording record, that's the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will, and the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. You call the show, let us know you want to play the game, give us the information, and the organizers will call you before the end of day to confirm whether you have won or not. Also, I'm running a t-shirt and magazine recycling program currently. And if you've got old t-shirts, if you are preparing for the Christmas season, clearing out things, please consider donating them to a worthy recycling project. Also, magazines as well. Texas said, Erin, why y'all heel and toe Hurricane Melissa out the Bahamas so fast? She wasn't even here long enough to get conch salad in Jamaica. We must be blessed. You know, I want to talk about that a bit. Let me bring Dr. Davis into the conversation. I guess maybe we are blessed because it is only geography. It is only the geography, right, of the space where we are located that, I want to say, protects us. I'm not even sure if that's the right language to use, you know, but we must be blessed. And we must consider everyone and everything that leads to those blessings. Good morning, Dr. Davis.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Erin. Good morning to all of your listeners. Pretty much it's our geography that sometimes it works to our advantage, sometimes it doesn't. And that's where we get into the situation. For Melissa, for example, Melissa came in through the Caribbean Sea, and it actually stalled out there for a little while, right? It was kind of like hanging about, milling around. And, you know, people were hoping that it wouldn't have leveled up like how Hurricane Dorian did.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it got that recharge from those hot waters in that area. And that energy, the rising heat from the ocean, powers up the storms. And then the storm was able to make landfall in a storm. And it was one of the most powerful storms in Jamaica's history, especially for this late in the season. And this is what we have, what we're going to expect for the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're getting more of these crazy storms late in the year. You know, when they say, oh, hurricane season's starting, then everyone gets nervous, excited, and try to prepare. But then as the year wears on, you have to worry about school fees and what you can do for Christmas and your Halloween decorations. People start thinking.
We had a little disruption there.
Yeah.
You back?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. So listen,
yeah, people start thinking that things are over, but we haven't more of these hurricanes like this. But then it tripped down over Jamaica, right? Because Jamaica sticks up way higher than the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps us a little bit, a little stumbling block for those hurricanes that come from the south.
So a couple of quick questions. I'm not sure if you are, you're not an earthquake expert, but you're certainly a regional expert and a perspective, right? On science, there were two earthquakes in generally in the Caribbean basin. The first was closer to Trinidad and Tobago. The second, closer to Antigua. There were two earthquakes in the Caribbean basin. Could a seismic event like that heat the waters and lend to increased temperature in the water that could lead to increased intensity in the storm?
Well, generally, where you have those fault lines, those are so deep under the water
mm-hmm.
that they wouldn't be contributing to that heat in the way that it would affect a hurricane or a storm.
Okay.
And those are also very short events. Water has a very high heat capacity. And what that generally means is it takes a lot of energy to raise the temperature of the water 1 degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you need to do that is you need a series of days where there's no clouds, the sun beating down in the Caribbean, and that's where we get that sea surface temperature warming.
I got you.
And that sea surface is heating down to, you know, maybe a few meters, but it's not even getting down as deep as where those oceanic trenches are. And similarly, from the bottom, you could have lava coming out down there. But once it's exposed to that cold water at depth, that doesn't really transfer up to the surface.
Absolutely. I'm thinking about the Bahamas' climate change and climate justice platform, right? I've heard Prime Minister Holness from Jamaica use language that suggests to me that if Jamaica wasn't on board, that they are on board now in this discussion. I'm not asking you as an expert, because I don't think any of us can be expert in this new technology at the moment. But is it possible that the kinetic strikes could heat the surface level temperature sufficiently to impact or to generate a storm? Now, when I say generate, I don't mean to cause the storm, but to cause the conditions that may result in the storm.
I think I need you to tell me what you mean with your kinetic strikes.
All right. So kinetic strike is the language that Trump and the U.S. Department of Justice has used, right? That's the term that they use to describe the process of taking out boats in the region, right? It's a new type of technology. It uses lasers and I think satellites, right? But the question is, is it reasonable for our government to put on the table, assess the extent to which the use of this new technology in the region may be creating conditions in which storms are more likely to form?
No, so that's still similar to that very localized impact.
Okay.
And these kinetic strikes, it's like you're not using chemical explosives that are going to propagate out through space.
Okay.
What you have is like when you sitting in the sun and you see a coconut drop on the ground, and that coconut hits with so much force that it makes the surrounding area create a crater.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're dropping these kinetic
Direct energy weapons, right? Like it's a narrow target. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So that's not going to heat up the water in any significant way to propagate out like that.
All right. Okay. It's interesting. I had asked the question on social media, right? Like anecdotally, when is the last time a hurricane formed in the Caribbean basin or on the, you know, with great proximity to the Caribbean basin? And somebody said it was Hurricane Katrina.
There's a lot of different storms that have evolved over time in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can actually, and any of your listeners can actually search for NOAA Hurricane Tracker. And their historical hurricane records show you every tropical storm and hurricane that's passed through whatever area you select.
Okay.
And most of the time, our human memories get limited to the best things that ever happened and the worst things that ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss out all the in-betweens and those gray areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd say that I do not believe that Hurricane Katrina was the last one.
Okay.
We still have, like, Maria visited Puerto Rico, and that was quite strong.
Yes.
And we have several other hurricanes over the years that have passed. They come up through the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move either into the Bahamas or they continue further west and maybe impact the southern United States.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that reference. NOAA. It's U.S.-based, right?
Yes, the U.S. Atmospheric Administration. And this is also one of these vulnerabilities that we have in the Bahamas. We don't collect significant scientific data. And it creates a vulnerability for us because when you have a politician in a different place who's managing the references and records of what happened to us in the past, and they can change the definitions, they can change how and where they store that data, they can lock us out, they can defund things. And we've seen over the past few years, people have decided to actually delete some records of history. And that could be what happened to the people. That could be what happened to the environment. But these are vulnerabilities that we need to get beyond as Bahamians. We need more scientists collecting the weather data. We need more locations that capture this weather data. We know during Hurricane Joaquin, those Bahamians down in the southern Bahamas did not get the response in time that they needed. They didn't know that the hurricane was coming. And of course, we had during Hurricane Dorian, we had a lot of issues where the response wasn't able to be mobilized in time because we didn't know what the situation was on the ground. We didn't know what response was needed or how to respond. And this is, I think we're lucky that our southern Bahamas did not get hit as hard this time.
Yep.
But the rhetoric that went around after Hurricane Dorian, we could have found ourselves in the same situation again,
mm-hmm.
a mere 6 years later for our family down south. And the government would not have been in any better position to respond to that. The only difference would have been the color on their shirts.
I think we are all facing the reality that we are woefully unprepared as a sovereign nation for what is a natural and reoccurring weather phenomenon, right? It's like Christmas. We know it's coming. and we must learn to live with it, you know? I'm so glad to have you here to add perspective to the science. You know, I think it's important for people to ask questions and to interrogate, but it's also important to help to give people language to help them formulate effective questions and inquiries, right?
That's usually more important than having the answer. We have a lot of people that come into a space and think they know everything that's going on. But what we really need is to ask the questions. You have the geography question. How far is someone in Cat Island from the nearest clinic, mm-hmm. the nearest hospital, the nearest shelter? You have questions about resource management. Who are the people or what are the avenues that you have to go through to actually request support, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you call your pastor? Do you call your local government? Do you call the minister responsible for disaster risk management? Do you call the prime minister or the minister of finance? If you're in another location, do you have a direct line to your minister of tourism and aviation or your minister of foreign affairs? Mm-hmm. Like, how does that work?
Absolutely.
And sometimes we need to ask the questions instead of just saying like, oh, this is how it happens, or this is how it used to happen, or this is how we do it every time a hurricane comes.
Yes.
Sometimes the answers change, but if you don't ask the right questions, you don't know.
All right, Dr. Davis, we've had some calls. I want to just introduce the callers to the conversation, and then I want to talk about the environmental impact on our southern islands and what we should be doing. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Wait a minute. People don't know, right, as bad and destructive as hurricanes are, right?
Mm-hmm.
They actually play a part, a main intricate part in human life, you know.
Yeah.
For one, it replenishes coastal wetlands and also regulates the heat, global heat. If there weren't no hurricanes, right,
mm-hmm.
the Earth actually would be uninhabitable.
Okay, I got you. I got
right.
you.
Thing,
hold on, but I need you to write that down and formulate it and give it to the Prime Minister to incorporate into his climate justice platform.
Yeah, yeah. Hurricanes play an important role in society and human life.
Mm-hmm.
Also, right, you won't believe my coworker, right? I mean to bring this up. He said that we are not going to feel the effects of the hurricane. You think this boy Edgar?
I think that sometimes, you know, with the lack of a cohesive national response and culture towards hurricanes, people are left to reconcile with these phenomena however they can to maintain their sanity, right? And for some people,
you know what I believe?
Yeah.
I don't blame him, you know. I blame the fact that we eat way too much chicken.
Tell me why.
His decision.
I got you.
Something got to be in the chicken.
Oh, okay, I got you. But listen, I have a doctor on the show with me, and we may have to interrogate that, okay?
Yeah, something injected in the chicken will cause us to think irrational.
Well, listen, if you had said consumption of chicken that some perceive as an overconsumption leads to erratic thinking and behavior in the same way that a chicken's movement and behavior may be perceived as erratic, and then I would say, yeah, my Grammy tell me you are what you eat. So I would.
Yeah, you are what you eat.
There you go. But listen, let's listen to the perspective of a doctor. Thank you, Dr. Davis.
So I think it's really powerful to say that the Bahamas is in a situation where, yeah, hurricanes are a natural part of our environment, of our existence. And yeah, that's the truth. We have cycling of the ocean. We have hurricane events that will destroy some forests. They will destroy the forest, and then those birds have to recover. Those plants and trees have to recover. We have Hurricane Dorian showed us where we decided to build some roads,
mm-hmm.
and then nature said, no, that's not where the road is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take into account what our environment actually is and ask those questions, where would be the best place to put a road? Where would be the best place to put a development? Instead of going in with the answer, we're going to put it here. That would change how we get impacted by a lot of things. But to his comment that his co-worker that be affected by this hurricane, or we're not going to feel the effects. That's a difference, right? We're not going to feel the effects.
Mm-hmm.
I have people here in Grand Bahama, where I am now, saying that Hurricane Dorian wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Right here in Grand Bahama. And then you have people in Nassau who say, oh, Hurricane Dorian wasn't that bad. They don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were not there experiencing it. And we in the Bahamas, we are one of the first countries that actually issued a climate emergency declaration. You know how powerful that is for a country to have a formal statement that says, listen, the climate is messing us up and we're in an emergency. We get hit by one hurricane, we don't have time to get back on our feet before the next one comes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're dealing with now. And some people are not going to feel that because they are blessed beyond measure. And they have a job or they have an environment, they have a family system that's going to help them see through. And on average, it doesn't matter to them.
But listen,
some people, they can't get to the hospital, they can't get food for another couple of weeks.
Yep. The people have been displaced, right? Their whole lives will be disrupted with uncertainty, right? Because there's no sure plan for each individual. There's just a general resettlement plan to, you know, to get people back to the islands. Are there any local or regional spaces where Bahamians, Caribbean people are talking about storms, right? Because when the caller said, his co-worker say, he didn't feel the effect of this storm, we're not going to feel the effect of this storm, I sense that he's just not aware of the multitude of ways that we are impacted by storms, whether they have passed right over us or in proximity to us, right? I don't think we really understand our fisheries industry and aquaculture to understand the extent to which a hurricane passing by the outer barrier of the Bahamas could disrupt a crawfish, a lobster season, right? How?
Yeah.
Go on.
You have all types of things. So let's do the sea sustainability framework, right? And this is a framework that I use in my consultations. CSEE, social, economic, environmental. Socially, you have Bahamians who left after Hurricane Dorian and they will never come back.
Mm-hmm.
They're students who were in high school, going into college. They got offers as Bahamians with a good track record to go to a foreign country and do their studies. And they already lost their house. They can't get their insurance money. They can't get their death benefit, because the country was overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And now they find a space in another country where they could contribute there and they get a return from their taxes. They get free health care or whatever. Now those people have decided that I'm going to take my education and my ability and my family, and we are now going to contribute in that other system that is more stable, that is more safe.
Mm-hmm.
Economically, you have a hurricane come through the Bahamas, and when a tourist sees that hurricane coming through from the Caribbean into the Bahamas and they have a cruise booked, they're going to cancel that cruise. That cruise ship might cancel that sailing. They might take that opportunity and say, you know what? We normally stop at two islands in the Bahamas. We're going to circumvent the whole Bahamas because
mm-hmm.
your dock mess up, the storm's still going. Y'all ain't gonna be able to provide us with any food or water, no electricity. So they're gonna go around the Bahamas. And so we don't get any of those taxes economically. We don't get any of those cruise ships. Those of you who are doing day trips, fishing and stuff, you're not getting that money.
Yeah.
Environmentally, when these storms come through, one of the main things they do is they're gonna strip the trees. So now you have farmers, you have like, Abaco Neem has a huge farm, and after Dorian, they had their trees were like tumbled, uprooted, stuff like that. You have all these standing dead pine trees on Abaco and Grand Bahama. when we have a major fire sweep through those forests now, you just have a bunch of kindling all over the place. So now you have people have to deal with these issues of wildfires. You have displaced animals. All the people who scared a snake and frog and things like that, they need someplace to live, so they come in by your house, right?
Yep.
And then we still doing things like all the deforestation off of Carmichael Road right now. Shout out to Smelly, who send me those videos and those references all the time when something is going on. But we do have regional people who are discussing what it looks like. We have efforts underway to make CARICOM nations more closely linked, so that when we have some event like this, we need to be able to say, those of you who are in Inagua, you might get some support from Haiti and Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
When Haiti and Cuba have a field site in Inagua where we launch things from there to support our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean, south of us.
Yes.
And when you have something happens where Bahamians get stuck on different islands in the Caribbean, we want to know that we have those relationships to say, you know, this is where we are. We want to understand that we're going to take care of one another.
Absolutely.
But the Bahamas is an archipelago as well. Why isn't Long Island strong enough to support Eleuthera after Hurricane hits?
Yeah.
Why isn't Grand Bahama strong enough to support Abaco?
North Andros.
Having everything in New Providence.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Another conversation that should be prominent constantly, and I had hoped that the creation of the portfolio in the, I think it's now Ministry of Works and Family Island Affairs, but the creation of that portfolio, Family Island Affairs, right? I hoped that that portfolio, among other things, would focus on governance and organizing in an archipelagic state. With an exterior, right? An archipelagic exterior. I'd hoped that we would have seen lots of programming and conversations that acknowledge the nuances, complexities, and opportunities that arise from governing within an archipelagic exterior. Because we are just also Nassau-centric, and if Nassau isn't at risk, then it sometimes feels like the storm is not being taken seriously, right? It's the same way when we watch American weather programming, we often feel like they're not taking the Bahamas seriously, right? Or they're not treating this storm as urgent for us because they're focused on their jurisdictions. And
if you look back in 2023, our prime minister, when he reassigned Clay Sweeting as the Ministry of Works and Family Island Affairs, he said combining the two ministries makes sense because of the large number of Family Island initiatives that were underway, including the $260 million Family Island Airports Renaissance Program.
Yes, yes.
That's challenging to me because I'm on Grand Bahama, which is supposed to be our second city, and I think most of us know of the state of the airport here.
Well, so, listen,
that's challenging to see that value.
I was going to ask about our wildlife response, because right now I may fly a flamingo versus Flamingo Air. But that's not the point. The point is, Carl, I was just coming to you. I'm so sorry. But let's talk about that. Those iguanas, wild donkeys, the wildlife that persists or sits in the Family Islands. Let's go to the caller. The caller called right back, Dr. Davis. Let's go to the caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. One more thing, right? Could your guest, please, reiterate, right? Because guess what? In life, right, we assume people know things, you know. Could your guest please reiterate the importance of hills and wetlands?
Okay, we will definitely get to that.
Down all the trees and pine forests.
We will.
We assume that it's stupid and people will automatically know that it's a bad idea to cut down because it's a buffer for hurricane force winds in the hills, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a buffer for the hurricane form winds.
All right.
We assume people know that, right? But people evidently don't know that because they cut it down. If you look towards the Carmichael Road area, towards the airport, they're cutting down almost all the pine trees.
Yeah, absolutely. Filling in all the swamps.
That absorb all the water and everything from the flooding conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get to that. So two things on the table, Dr. Davis, and I want to frame it as the what do you call it, like the irony of tourism, that the more mangroves you cut down to make pretty beaches, the more pretty beaches in your tourist product become.
Yeah, because I ain't the smartest one in Fox Hill, but I even know that.
Yes, yeah, so, but listen, y'all don't play with Fox Hill people. All y'all smart. All Fox Hill people smart. Dr. Davis.
And this is one of those things that it isn't necessarily a matter of that formal education. You know, you don't have to go to school. You don't have to get a doctorate or anything to understand some of these things, but you do have to understand that everything's connected. Mm-hmm. When you look at the rain coming down out of the sky, you know that rain has to sit somewhere for a while, and some ground will suck it up, some ground won't. If you don't have trees pulling that water up through their roots and into their leaves, where would that water go? You have to wait for that water to evaporate. You have to wait for the sun to come out. You have to wait for it to drain somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have any drainage anymore, that's what those wetlands used to do. So you take a wetland, a historic wetland, now they are filling in several areas in Adelaide. I think that Venetian area on South New Providence, they dug out a bunch of mangroves just east of Adelaide along that coast. Past, I think that's Minister Keith Bell's property. These areas, they had a purpose, or they evolved that way because of how nature normally behaves. In 4 or 5 years, so one government could see a problem, fix a problem, avoid a problem.
Mm-hmm.
These are on 10 years, 20 year scales.
Mm-hmm.
So every 10 years, and we just had this Hurricane Melissa, was actually almost Dorian strength in 6 years' time.
Yeah.
And by the grace of God, it only affected Jamaica, and then it powered down before it came to us.
Yeah. And
so these things are important.
I didn't know the specifics on the strength of the storm, because I think I have a natural bias being a Bahamian. I want to say that Dorian was obviously stronger, but I think the what we experienced in loss of life, right, is what Jamaica experienced in loss of property and property damage and infrastructural damage, right? I think the storms impacted each island differently, but the extent, the weight of the impact is tremendous. For us, a localized sort of space hitting Abaco and sitting over Abaco for 24 hours, then moving to Grand Bahama. But I think that infrastructural damage, and then the psychological weight of that, right, compares to the loss of life and the psychological weight, right, experienced by Bahamians.
So quick trivia, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the maximum wind speed of Hurricane Dorian?
I have a friend that said that with the equipment that she had access to, it exceeded Cat 5. But I can't remember the exact number.
And so it was 185 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And right now you have Hurricane Melissa has also achieved 185 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so these two storms have actually exceeded the previous category 4 or 5 ranges. Because mm-hmm. those, when you go from category 1, 2, 3, 4, usually they only have like 20 miles per hour or something like that.
Difference.
For the difference between them, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get you, once you're a hurricane, for you to go from level to level. But after you get the hurricane to category 5, it's like, you know, it don't matter what you do. That's so bad. Plenty of things getting kapunkula.
Yeah.
But getting back to your question about the animals.
Hold on. And then.
Animals is getting kapunkula up too.
Yes. But let's add to this. So in the discussion about the evacuation orders, right? People say, well, you know, may go and have the caves. And people, the caves. And I said, listen, the caves may be historically an effective solution for some storms, but if we now have the disaster alert and mandatory evacuation orders, then surely we need a scientific assessment of the effectiveness of the cave and a standard for the infrastructure of the cave, right? Like if you're going to use the cave, you need these things in it before we can tell people to use the caves. I'm not saying that people shouldn't use the caves, but if the caves are effective, let's prove that they are effective and then create a standard for the use of the caves. So I just wanted to add your perspective on the use of the caves historically on an island like Mayaguana, along with our assessment of a response to the wildlife impacted by the storm.
Okay, so the first thing is, most caves and cave systems in the Bahamas, they are at or below sea level. So you walk into a cave and there's some place where your foot can get wet after mm-hmm. the rain, right? There's water dripping down from the ceiling. If you've ever seen a blue hole in the Bahamas mm-hmm. and you look down inside the blue hole or you dive down the blue hole, the ground that used to be covering the top of that blue hole is somewhere down in the bottom of that blue hole. So that means at some point in time, that roof falls in. That works for any cave in the Bahamas, any blue hole, sinkhole, and some of the ground that we're walking around on. Mm-hmm. It could collapse in on us to this underground spaces that are there. So for that, that's one of the reasons why I would not say that the caves would be your first thought.
Yeah.
But as human beings, we can actually build, right? Know there's going to be another hurricane. Build a storm shelter that's properly made so that you can access it when needed and that you can be safe inside there. And we end up going inside a lot of these schools. The schools have those drop roofs with the ceiling tiles and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They flying around during the storm. You know, you have those metal panel windows that you roll up and roll down that when they flying around in a hurricane, that's a projectile. Mm-hmm. You have things like the metal bars on windows in a cave. Yeah, the cave mouth is probably open, but you get trapped in there when there's a flood. It's the same as you getting trapped inside one of these buildings that have steel bars on all of the windows.
Yeah.
And we don't actually have a good evaluation, a public evaluation of our hurricane shelters in the Bahamas. So when you see that published notice of where the hurricane shelters are, you don't know if that's okay for someone who have mobility issues. Can you get a wheelchair in and out of that place?
Yeah, all kinds of things.
Do they have running water? All kinds of things. And so we have to deal with this in a proactive way. And the time is resetting in a few days where we'll be able to say hurricane season is over and now we need to start preparing for next year.
Yep.
But plenty of times we can wait until June.
Listen, you know, I have a new phrase I'd like to say. Thank you to the former minister, Frankie Campbell, because, you know, now 6 months of the year I spend preparing for hurricanes and the next 6 months of the year I spend preparing for hurricanes. I got my calendar set right up. Now, Dr. Davis, I know we haven't talked about flamingos, iguanas, wild donkeys, chickchanies, the jack-o'-lanterns in Long Island that we didn't think would be affected, but the storm shifted and Long Island had far greater impact, I think, than was expected by forecasters. I invited you here today to talk about the topic that you presented at the Future of Democracy Conference 4, Party, Identity, and Environmental Politics. I've got a full show of guests tomorrow, and so you being the founder of one of our local parking leagues, I thought we could talk a bit about the launch of National Sports Month, which is November. But we got a few minutes. We go into a break. When we get back from the break, you pick it up wherever you want to. You're on the clock right with Flamingo Green. Stay tuned, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. With printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards, you name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Iguana Green. Dr. Davis, a small prayer came to me just now in the break. And I said, I want to pray to sweet baby Jesus for an unending grant. So Aaron Green and my good cousin Gandhi Pinder could start this Guardian Radio ZNS collaboration for the ministry. Well, we don't even have to call it the ministry. The Family Island Affairs TV and radio show. Right? I throw in that prayer out there.
Hold on. How come you only involved in two of the cousins? You know you and Gandhi is my cousin.
I forget.
I think it's run deep.
I forget. And my other cousin, Dr. Ancelino Davis. Also, right?
All right.
Because
all right.
We need a TV and radio show for Family Islanders to lead the conversation about what's going on with them and in between them, right? Kind of not take Nassau out the equation, but put it on the side. Also, when we get to talking about this wildlife, right, I'd like to thank you again for questions, right? Some of them seem wild. I believe in some wild things. Ever since we use carbon fiber as hurricane shelters in Hurricane Floyd, I believe some wild things. Like a superstition, two raccoons told me if you allow a raccoon to stay in your house during a storm, you'll incur no damage to your house. You ever heard that?
I don't know about that, but raccoons do have a way of paying back debts. So you might get some extra mangoes or something. I don't know.
Well, listen,
raccoons are actually fairly intelligent.
Extremely intelligent. And you talk about a debt, right? Raccoons say, humans, y'all need soursop to save your life. We will not eat the soursop, but we'll eat all the dilly that gain y'all diabetes. And I think what a wonderful relationship to have.
I think that is beautiful. But when we talk about wildlife, mm-hmm. particularly the invasive species, we have the raccoons, we have wild pigs, we have stray dogs, stray cats, we have rats, and we have the green iguanas that are spreading throughout now, as well as the cane toads.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them actually, they're edible. So you don't want to eat a cane toad because that'll stop your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But something like iguana, they eat throughout the Caribbean. And that's why we don't have iguanas in most locations anymore. Because when Columbus them came, there's like, oh, these things made out of meat. So they just ate a whole bunch of them. So we don't have our iguana spread out where they used to be. We don't have our Bahamian crocodile or our Bahamian turtles anymore. We used to have a tortoise on land. So those things are messing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have some really cool successes. Our flamingo population was decimated by people who used to wear those big fancy hats with the feathers in it in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
But protections like the Inagua National Park and the work that our friends at the Bahamas National Trust, shout out to Nikisha Anderson, executive director, Ellsworth Ware, who's in charge of parks, and Fallon Cartwright, who is heading the science and policy division. They're doing work that has got our flamingos in Inagua to some historic levels and even increasing to the point where they're spreading. And now we have flamingos in Long Island, flamingos in Andrus, and we need to work on getting some protections on those areas moving along better. And not just a paper park where you say, oh, this area is protected, la la, ray ray, you fold up the piece of paper and don't say anything anymore. Mm-hmm. But we need to actually fund the Bahamas National Trust properly, give them the finances so that they can have their and assess the populations, so that they can train students and collaborate with the University of the Bahamas so that our graduates can walk across the stage and walk into a job at the Bahamas National Trust with the Department of Forestry at Environmental Planning and Protection. These are the things that we need to do. And it's changing because of hurricanes and climate change and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
We need new minds getting or wrapping themselves around those problems, and not just lawyers who are writing these laws, but you can't legislate freedom. No matter what directive you get and what mandatory evacuation order you put in place, that's not going to help someone be able to make it to the airport. That's not going to actually put fuel in the plane for the people who need to leave. And we live on islands. We live on these tiny little islands that where you going to evacuate to?
Yeah.
And if that hurricane keeps going up, are you going to pop from Mayaguana over to Long Key? Are you going to pop from there up to Eleuthera? And then the hurricane keep going. How many planes are you going to take?
Yep. How long can you avoid the storm? Dr. Davis, listen, we're all out of time. I get a few texts to read through, and I'm going to start with this one. Please bring Dr. Davis as the eco-doctor in the house weekly. We need more science and perspective. But Dr. Davis, these people don't know. I'm bringing you back as a porkiness expert, as well as a resident environmental specialist, all right? November is sports month is coming up, and a big portion of the celebrations are going to take place in Grand Bahama this year. The boxing community has a number of events taking place in New Providence, but primarily in Grand Bahama. I got a few more texts here. One says, Melissa was stronger, greater pressure than Dorian, reportedly. Her millibars were lower. And another text here, it says, it's sad how the Bahamas signs on to global climate emergency declarations but doesn't act like a nation in crisis. Smoking cars fill the air, plastic waste still floods our streets and beaches, and generators run nonstop while renewable energy barely moves forward. We burn trash, cut mangroves, overfish our waters, and still use styrofoam and non-biodegradable products like it's nothing. Even many sanitary products women use aren't biodegradable and end up polluting our land and sea. Our coral reefs are dying, our coasts eroding, and yet policies sit on paper instead of in practice. How can we call it a, quote, national emergency, close quotes, if we keep fueling the fight? We serious, but we aren't serious. Well, we serious, and now we know that people need systems to plug into to support the work, to create, not to, to move from silos to a collaborative and cohesive environmental and sustainable environmental movement. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Tomorrow, we have the Securities Commission in. October was Investors Education Month. And since I know all y'all investing in a gift for me, and if not for me, for someone actually in need, we're going to have a word about what to expect and not to expect when you begin the investing journey or the investment journey. You guys have a wonderful day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.